before drugs got involved in a lot of people's death, there used to be some good testimonies of people leaving this world to that yonder world, amen, and talking about who they could see and what they could see, and I'm not sure that we've benefited from some of the things that's taken place, but as far as holding out people's minds and trying to soothe them, but I was thinking there, they talked about how when death gives way to victory and we see them lights, we'll know that our Savior lives. Amen. Remember when my dad was dying and he lost his hearing. He could hardly hear for a long time prior to getting sick, but he lost his hearing laying there in the hospital. You'd have to get right down his ear and scream at him for him to hear. And we all went up there on Wednesday night and took all my kids up there. And then that night, somewhere, I don't know where my kids were. There's probably over another room. My dad he couldn't hear nothing. And all of a sudden he says, "Y'all hear that singing? Y'all hear that singing?" Man, there wasn't nobody singing. But I think he was hearing some singing, amen. He hadn't been a Christian that long, but I thank God today for some great experiences we read of saints of God who's went on to heaven, amen, and seeing the glory of God. And there's been some others those that wasn't saved, but I don't want to dwell on that. I just want to tell you God's good, amen. Well, take your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3, and Lord willing, I want to do some preaching today on great faith. You've probably never heard any message like this before, so this will be a good one for you. Be a good one for me, even if it isn't for you. Great faith. The disciples are crossing the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus is in the bottom of the boat, sleeping, and they think they're dying. And they said, "Master, do you not care that we perish?" Isn't that about like us whiny Christians thinking God doesn't care when he does care? I know he cares, this hymn writer wrote. Amen. Amen. And he says, "Ye have no faith." No faith. Then he says, "Little faith. Little faith." And there was two people, the woman of Syrophoenicia, who said, "Now so great a faith have I seen." Great faith. I told you last week that I pondered that made that statement in my Sunday school class in connection with Gideon, that I think most of us well overestimate our faith. I think we probably think we have faith way up here whenever it's all shaken down. It may be about here. And I hope maybe today that you do have great faith, or pray that you have great faith. That would be my desire, amen. The disciples said, "Lord, increase our faith. I want greater faith." I began to ponder that in my own heart, and I began to think that, you know, I don't know. I guess at times I have exercised great faith, but I think there's a difference between a time of exercising great faith in our lives and a time of living it by great faith from day to day and from hour to hour. So I don't know about your faith today. I know very little about my own, I think. The more I study the Bible, the more I study faith, the more I study prayer, the more I study the things, especially like in the book of Acts that God did, I'm not sure that I have great faith. And as I mentioned last week, I desire to have great faith. Amen. I don't want to meet the Lord having never lived in great faith. Sadly, most churches and maybe most Christians could live the rest of their Christian life without ever getting in contact with God. They just got it worked out, the routine, the finances and all this is already worked out. We know what we're doing, we know what we're not doing, and so we just go through life. Great faith learns to depend upon God for everything. And the Bible says, and if you have your Bible, look there. And if you don't have your Bible, you look off of somebody else's Bible. On mine, it's 1242, if you need to know where it is, what page it is. And the Bible says in verse 20 of Ephesians chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 20. Now unto him that is able, and I could preach on him that is able without end. Amen. He is able. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And by the way, as we mentioned last week, this is the key to the first part. God will only be able to do what you allow him to do in you. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Just a side note, when somebody tells me, "Preacher, I don't have to go to church to worship God," I said, "Well, that may be true, but you know the Bible does say, unto him be glory in the church." In the church. Not out here anywhere else, but in the church. And if you're going to give God glory, you're going to be in the church to do it. Amen? And, well, that didn't go over good, but that's still the way I believe it. Praise the Lord. And because the Bible says it. Amen? So today I'm going to do a little preaching on, hopefully, and encourage your heart today and share with you something that I believe is going to take great faith in our lives to reach more people. Father, thank you again for this day. Lord, I thank you so much for what you've done thus far. God, you have just amazed me. I'm thankful for the prayers that have been answered. Lord, some things I know you're working that none of us can see and none of us can identify physically, but God, by faith, we see you doing some things. And I thank you, Lord. I'm glad, Lord, for how you're working in people's hearts that we've been that are members of our church that we have been praying for. And I ask you, Father, today to continue to work. God, you said men ought to always to pray and not to faint. And sometimes, Lord, we get discouraged when we don't see the visible results. But God, you've promised that every man who asks in faith and prays in Christ's name for the glory of God receives that which we ask for. And Father, I'm glad today that we can put our hope in that promise of God. Lord, I thank you for the prayers you've answered. God, it's just been a blessing how you've opened up doors. Lord, I read it again this morning how you said, "I set before thee an open door and no man can shut it." And Lord, I thank you for the opportunities that you give our church to serve you. Bless, I pray, and God, use us in Christ's name. Amen. Well, great faith. Great faith. Busyness does not deter, does not show that we have great faith. Busy people can just be busy people. I like being busy, doing what I like to do. And so being busy doesn't necessarily mean I'm exercising great faith. Sitting at home doing nothing doesn't mean I'm exercising great faith either. There is something here that God's trying to get to us, and I've tried to ponder this, and as I told you, I made that statement in Sunday school, and then on Monday I came here and I knelt down, and for about a week I really confessed to God for a week, "God, I'm so sorry that my faith has been so little and sometimes none at all." And not in salvation. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about in following the Lord, in doing great things for God and for his glory. I look out, and maybe if I could just kind of show you some things that I see today. And you know, my perspective is much different than your perspective. Because all of us in this room look at things differently. Of course, you know, the worker looks at the business a lot different than the CEO looks at the business. I mean, it's just, we're just different people, okay? And women look at things different than men look at things. And kids look at things different than the way that adults look at things. And so from my perspective, what I see, and I have a preacher friend, I haven't seen him in a long time, But man, this guy can, he can like take a vision and cast it to the church, and it's like the whole church says, oh man, we got to do that. And this guy has a great ministry, and he's just a vision caster, all right? He can just cast a vision. Me, on the other hand, I'm like a rock in the water, all right? And the more I try to cast the vision, the deeper in the water it gets, it seems like. But I want to tell you some things that I see here in our church, and things that I want to see God do. Now, the Bible says, unto him that is able. So anything that's done has to be done by God, all right? Unto him that is able. Now, all of us in this room today want to see God do something. We probably believe in our heart that God is able to do great things. Well, I thought I heard two say they did. Praise the Lord. Amen. I think most of us in here believe God can do great things for somebody else, or with somebody else, or through somebody else. But you know, God wants to manifest his greatness in us and through us. I heard a story, I think I told you this. I heard a story, and I listened to it just the other day, just because it just blesses me over and over every time I hear it. I heard David Gibbs Jr. tell a story of a preacher friend that for 7 years, and I can't remember when this was written, maybe he's still doing it today, every day, for 7 years, led at least one person to Christ. And that was, he did not count anybody that walked the aisle in the church. Nobody counted on Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night, or revival night. One person, at least one person. Brother Gibbs tells a story on when he's telling him this, and when he's talking to him about this, on that night, that preacher, in a deserted area, led three people to Christ. You know, ladies and gentlemen, all of us say, man, that's so wonderful. I wish I could do that. Well, according to the power that worketh in you, you could. God, listen, how many of us would say, man, I'd love to win one person a year to Christ? Well, how much do you witness? You'll never win anybody to Christ if you don't witness. All I'm saying is, we believe that God is able to do great things, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, but are we seeing him do anything? And here's the key. God wants to do something great and marvelous, but through us. You, Brother Jason's teaching in my Sunday school class for a few weeks, and I appreciate him doing that. It's just relieved me of, Brother House and I was talking about it, maybe it was Brother Fong, he said it's awful hard to hit two home runs back to back. He said if you're going to hit one, hit it on Sunday morning, amen? So I pondered that for a little bit, but Brother Jason was already doing my class, but he brought up in the book of Acts. Now we read the book of Acts and we think, man, that's great. 3,000 people saved. You know, man, a miracle of this guy being healed. Signs and wonders the Bible uses. And the prayers of the church and the prison door opening. Peter being delivered by the angel of the Lord. And Paul and the preaching. You know what? The book of Acts is a reminder that all that they did, we can do. Same God, same power, same cross, same message, same everything. You know what the only difference is? We ain't going as much as they are going. We ain't preaching as much as they're preaching. And I look at that, and I told you last week, the more I pondered this thing of great faith, I don't want to stand in front of God one day. And I know I'm going to. And I don't want to stand in front of God one day and say, I never had great faith. Never had great faith. So when I look at the church, when I look at great faith, I think, God, we've got to do more to reach more people. You know, ladies and gentlemen, the goal of the church, obviously, number one, is to glorify God in all that we do. To give him glory for everything that he does. To prove the promises and the power of God by obedience and submission to his will. But then the byproduct of doing that is seeing people saved, seeing people ministered to. Some will minister to that will never, ever do anything but do what we did for them. There'll never be nothing in return. So many times the church's mentality or people's mentality is, well, I thought if we did something, they would come to church. Well, that's usually not what they're asking. So I want to see great things. You know, there's so many kids in our community, in our county, and I want you to just think of the county, not necessarily Huntsville or Moberly or Higbee or any of the other towns, but just our county. Look at the county that we're living in and look at the needs of people. Look at the needs of people. Look at the needs of the homes that's in our county today. I'm telling you, our homes are in a shamble. Our homes are in a shamble. Maybe not so much older folks that have been married for a long period of time, but I'm talking about younger folks. I'm talking about boys and girls that are living with a mom or possibly living with a dad and separated from their parent one way or another. And maybe some of them living in a home that's full of hostility and such like things. Our homes need help. And the world does not have the answer for the home. It never has had. In fact, it has created most of what we see today. The world has not helped our home. Whether it's the agenda of any organization, the world's method has not helped the home. The only method that has helped the home has been God's method, preached God's way. Now I look at these homes and I think, good night, we need to do more. We need to do more. I look around at young boys and I think, man, boys need some good, strong dads in their homes. They need some dads that'll be loving and kind. I agree to that. But they need some dads who'll show them what a man is. Amen? I mean, we're in a generation, ladies and gentlemen, that needs some good Christian role models. We're in a generation today that young ladies need a godly role model in their life. Somebody to inspire them not to go to the way the culture says they have to go, but to get out of that mindset and to aspire to great things for God. Need somebody. I was telling in our planning committee meeting a few weeks ago, the one of the most neglected or one of the most overlooked or hard to reach groups of people are those that are in like your where they build houses at, not towns, but you know in them towns where they build them little house circles at and only certain people live there. We've got them all subdivisions is what I'm thinking of. Somebody probably said that and I just thought it was me. Amen. Subdivisions. But you go and look at subdivisions. You go and look at churches today, ladies and gentlemen. You go and look at people today. You go and look at there. You find very little 30s, maybe late 20s, early 30s, mid 30s, early 40 families going to church. They're too busy. Too much going on. One of the worst things that we've allowed to happen is allowed our kids to be involved in every stinking thing that goes on in the school system. Sure has. I'm not against school per se in that. I mean, my goodness, when you have to go on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and sometimes Sunday to satisfy the school, I can just tell you, you got an idol. And they're just bombarded. And they think they're for prestige and for their child's sake. You know what? I mean, many of you can remember, man, when we had summer vacation, it was away from everything. Some played summer baseball for a few weeks, but my goodness, now it ain't. Man, I mean, you're training. Boy, you're hitting, you're training all through summer and all this, that, and the other. What happened to just being a kid? Good gravy, I don't understand it. I'm just telling you some things that I see. I look out here and I look at all the seniors that are out here in our county, and the majority of them have no connection with a church. None. And you know it's hard to try to minister to people that are so set in their ways. I look at that and I think, my goodness, the church. You look at our state, and our state is in great need. Lost people by the groves. You look at our nation, and ladies and gentlemen, surely today we can see that our nation is on the moral decline, the moral depravity. And then you look at the mindset of the world. Not only is much of the world against God, but that claims to be Christian has a twisted mindset of who God is. What is the answer? It is the church reaching out. Paul the apostle and the apostles in the most oppressive government of all time, the Roman government, said, they that have turned the world upside down have come hither. There is nothing that God can't do through us if we would be used of God to do it. Boy, I tell you, great faith. And so we talked about the power of God. Now unto him that is able. God is still able. You know, we think, well, God may not be able to, you know, if I stepped out by faith, is God able? God is able. He just don't have no steppers. He don't have anybody getting out of the boat. You know how much faith it took to get out of that boat and into that water? Let me tell you, it took every bit of faith Peter had. You know what it'll take for you to get out of what you're doing and be used of God? It'll take every bit of faith that you've got. Then we talked about the prayer. The prayer of God. He said here, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. God, I want to be used of you. I have been trying to study some on for about a year and a half now, trying to comprehend. And here's been one of my prayers. Jabez prayed, God, that you would bless, oh Lord, that you would bless me indeed, and that you would enlarge my coast. And I've been concentrating on that part, and I've asked God, God, enlarge my usefulness in the kingdom. I want to be used. I don't want to just be here. I want to be enlarged in the usefulness of your kingdom. Man, I don't want to meet God having never been used in the kingdom. Usefulness. Usefulness. And as I think about being useful in the hands of God, useful in the kingdom of God, you know what instantly comes to my mind? Make yourself available to God. Put yourself in His hands to be used of God. Make yourself available to be useful. In my house, I don't know in this house, but in my old house, we had a what we called a china cabinet. I don't know if they even make them anymore. But we had a china cabinet. We had dishes in there that we very seldom ever used. On special occasions, we used them, and why, I really don't have any idea. But that's the way tradition said that you used special dishes. But my favorite dishes were the ones you could use every day. Them were my favorite. You know why? Because they fed me every day. I guarantee if my weight was based on that china cabinet, I'd weigh about 7 pounds right now. Don't touch the china! You know, my mother was like that. She would have china. We don't use it at Thanksgiving, possibly at Christmas. Other than that, it just sat in this china cabinet and collected dust. And I committed myself, I did not want to be a china cabinet Christian. I wanted to be that everyday use, 3 or 4 times a day, fork or spoon or knife or plate or cup that was used day after day after day. And you saw the wear and tear on it, and you knew, man, I can trust that. You know what, ladies and gentlemen, as I began to pray about God enlarging my coast, I said, God, I want to be a useful Christian. I want to be you. I don't want to be one of them China type Christians. And by the way, I don't want to be a paper plate Christian, used one time and thrown away. There's a lot of Christians say, well, I'll do this one time, but I ain't doing anything else. No, I don't want to be that type of Christian. I don't necessarily care for paper plates and plastic spoons and all that kind of stuff. I don't know if you ever used them very much, but if you, we use the paper plates at home, and especially when I have to do dishes. I feel that's led of the Lord, amen. Now, when Yvette's doing dishes, I use a real plate. I want to keep her in tune to how to do that, amen, in case there's ever a need. So every once in a while, have you ever tried to use one of them plastic forks and they break? Come on. And the knife, it don't cut nothing. The only thing useful is a spoon. And it, who wants to eat with a spoon when you're 50, amen? I think that's coming when I get to be 80 or something, they say. I don't know. I hope not. But you understand what I'm saying? There's some people they're like the china. They're only used once and put back in and collect dust in the church. And then there's some like the throwaway paper plates and this and the spoons and the forks and that. They get broken, they get used, and they're thrown away and they're discarded. They never want to be used again. I want to be that every day. And I've been praying, God, I want to be useful in the kingdom. Whatever it is, I want to be useful in the kingdom. I don't want to stand in front of God having been too good to be used. I mentioned last week about the church plan, and I appreciate the good spirit of the church. Man, I'm excited what God's going to do. I think we have two prospects already. Them two fellows that showed us the building the other day said they were coming. So we hope they show up, amen. Your job now is to begin to pray and pray. Pray for souls. Pray for every person there. Every day, make that a priority in your prayer list. Pray for every person in the Centralia area, in the surrounding areas, that we can reach as many as we can. And we got some work to do with Brother Godfrey. He's going to do some mailing for us, and real excited about that. He got us a nonprofit permit from Georgia, where we'll mail from, so we don't have to spend a lot of time and effort. And so there are a lot of things that God's done there, and the fellows were more than accommodating to the building. We got some signs. We're going to put up three signs and just trying to accommodate all the things that are taking place there. Boy, I'm excited about that. But it's going to take a lot of work. Take a lot of work. Going to take a lot of work. You say, well, it's just going to spring up overnight and there'll be like 400 people there and you know, no, it'll probably take a long time. Take a lot of work. Take a lot of work. You say, well, preacher, I don't know how it's going to go, except I know God's leading me to do it. And so by the grace of God, we'll do it. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I prayed for over a year. I don't know that I shared this with anybody up until just a few months ago. I prayed for over a year about the college and doing something there, and I believe God has opened a door there, and there's going to be some great things done, and God's going to use us to make the difference in the lives of kids and in the lives of the staff. My goal is not only to reach the ball players, but to move into the college. And there's tons of those kids that go to college there that need to be reached with the gospel and that need their mind shaped and formed to the image of Christ. But I'll tell you what, it takes a lot of work. Somebody said, well, preacher, ain't none of them coming yet. Well, don't get discouraged. It takes a lot of work. Amen? It takes a lot of work. All I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, is the more you make yourself available to God, the more God will use you. Oh, preacher, it's another night. Yeah, I know. I've already thought of that. Thought, man, this is already a... Now I've got Sunday. I was only preaching one day a week. Kind of 30 minutes on Wednesday. Now I'm on Tuesday night and going all this. And I think, my goodness, if I keep doing things, I'm going to get busy. I'm going to have to take a rest. Amen? But the honest truth is, ladies and gentlemen, there's so much to be done. I shared with the deacons what got this all started as I was praying, God, open the door. Open my eyes to something I could do for you. I told you last week, I never put any conditions on what I wanted God to do to have great faith. I just wanted great faith. And I asked God to lead me to have great faith. And I shared with them what I'm going to share with you. I believe if we're going to reach kids, and if we're going to reach teenagers, and if we're going to reach college kids, and if we're going to reach adults, and if we're going to reach seniors, and all these visions that I have in my head. You know, the Bible says in the last days, you've got to give old men visions. And maybe I'm at that age where I see this vision, amen, of what I want to see the church do. I just don't want to come here on Sunday morning, do a little bit of Sunday school and say, well, we did Sunday school. Come here to church and say, well, we did church. I'm too fat to reach behind, pat my back. So I'm patting my shoulder, amen. And come back on Sunday night and say, well, we did what tradition tells us to do. Or on Wednesday night, we're doing a little bit more, this, that, and the other. I want to have great faith. I would, instead of seeing the 140 or 50 or whatever that's here, rather minister, our church ministers on a weekly average to about 230 people from Sunday morning to Wednesday night. But wouldn't it be a blessing to increase that to about 500 or 1,000 or 2,000 or 25,415 that's registered in Randolph County? Here's what I think we should do. Now, don't pass out. And don't go, oh! All right, don't do those two things. Don't pass out and don't go, oh! All right? If you're going to do any, just hold your breath. Okay? Just and don't pass out. I was driving uptown the other day, and I'd been praying for 2.5 months. I'd been praying all August, September, and I think it was the second week of October. I was driving uptown. Probably, I don't have no idea what I was doing uptown. and I turned into a place that's for sale. And I looked at this building, and I'm pondering this building, and I'm thinking, I wonder why I'm standing here looking at this building. And the Lord began to deal with my heart about how to improve or to challenge my faith. So I looked at the building. I called the realtor. I said, hey, lady, come here and show me this building. So she come in and showed me this building. I think what we need to do, I think the Lord's leading great faith in this area. I think we need to move our ministering on Wednesday night to Moberly. I think we need to get out of this building on Wednesday night. Not that I'm opposed. Don't go, oh, don't do that. And don't pass out. I'm not abandoning the church. But here's the thing. The Bible says to go. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, if we're going to reach people, we're going to have to go where people are accustomed to going. And that's in Moberly. We have Brother Allen that usually drives the bus. I had to drive on Wednesday, thank you. And I don't mind picking the kids up, but man, taking them back, they are wound out. Oh. He leaves here about 4:30, 4:45. Gets back here at 6. Then he goes another 20, 30 minutes back home or back up there. If we were in town, take about a 20-minute ordeal all the way around. You know, a parent wouldn't mind driving 10 minutes across town to bring their kids to something, but they're not going to drive 30, 20 minutes this way, turn around, go back home, and turn around, come back. They're not going to do it. When we talk about the college ministry, college kids may not likely drive across town, come across town four or five, 10 minutes to a ministry to minister to them. So anyway, so I was looking at this building. I'm pulling up there, and I said this kind of out loud, not too loud because I didn't want to offend the Lord. I said, we don't need another building. Amen? I was just being honest. What am I going to do with another building? We got enough buildings now to choke a horse. I mean, we got this building, we got all those buildings, we got that building, got all them buildings at the camp. I mean, what do we need another building for? I mean, that was my spirit. So I'm sitting here, I'm trying to act like I'm awful morally, I'm looking at this building. And I'm looking at this building, and I'm thinking, boy, this is no man. So I call the realtor, and I go up there, and the realtor lady comes in, and as she walked into the door, we walked into the building, God began to open my eyes to a vision of a building and a sanctuary. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, that we could do more to reach seniors on a Wednesday service than we ever could out here on a Wednesday night service. Truth of the matter is, many of the older folks that I run into are not going to drive out here. Too dangerous, and they don't see good at night. Brother Phil, he told me that the other day. He said, "Preacher," he said, "I can't even see at night." I'm thinking, good gravy, you leave before me, amen. He said, "I just drive, praise the Lord, like my dad, amen." I saw a vision of reaching older folks on a Wednesday service during the daytime and inviting them to come. You say, "Preacher, it won't work." Well, it will if God's leading that way. I look at our Awana program. The most of our Awana programs runs about 60, including our teenagers, and that's about where we're at now, somewhere in that neighborhood. So I just assume we've probably about peaked out where we're going to be at. But you know what? We haven't reached every kid, and those kids uptown will walk in the spring and in the fall, and their parents won't mind bringing them if they're close. I've been here long enough, and you know, if you've been here long enough, things have changed drastically in the way people perceive church. Across the street, we have a great ministry called the Printing Ministry. Amen? The Mission Center is what we call it. The Mission Center. Just a note for the Mission Center, and I'm going to try to finish up because it's already 25 to 11, and I could rattle here for a long time. I've been praying about doing some things different over there, and one of the things I've been praying about is a press, a different press, upgrading our press and our web press. And so last week in conversation with another preacher friend about that, I thought, well, you know what, doesn't hurt to look. Amen. So I happened to found a real nice press out in Washington State, put in and trained in all this, only $80,000. I said, well, boy, thank you for that, dude. Amen. I was telling Yvette, I think it was Saturday, maybe it was Friday, I can't remember. I'm looking on the internet, you can find about anything. And so I found a newspaper in Salem, Missouri that just quit printing newspapers. They've subcontracted out to somewhere in Jeff City, and so I called him and was talking to him about his web press. He said, "Preacher, be honest with you, he said, I just want the thing out of here." 5 units, they run full color on that web press. He said, "Really?" And he said, "I just bought the folder 5 years ago," and he said, I forgot what he told me to pay for. He said, "I'll tell you what, preacher," he said, "I'll take $8,000 for the whole thing." He said, "If you'll come get it." I said, "Would you take a ride?" He said he wanted to get rid of us. He said, "Take a tax letter? I'll give you a tax letter." He goes, "Well, I'd really like $8,000. I said, "I'd really like a letter." I mean, since we're all telling what we really like, amen. I'll tell you, brother. So Thursday, I'm going to go down and take a look at that. I'm going to take some men down there and take a look at it. And I ain't going to give him $8,000 for it, but I think I got what I can give for. Just so happened, my good friend called me and said, "Hey, you guys updating any machinery?" He said, "I got some money I want to give you when you do." I said, "Get ready, brother, amen." We have the Mission Center. Picture in your mind a building called the Ministry Center where you can minister to people at. You say, "Preacher, what do we got out here?" Oh, I think we got a great church out here. I think we got great facilities. I do hear some complaints. "Them kids are tearing the building up." They always have. They always will. You go downstairs where we play Awana at, there's a hole in the wall. And I don't know if we can ever do anything about that. I don't have Awana, but the Bible says something like this: "Where no oxen are, the stalls are clean." I'd rather have a few oxen and a little bit of manure around as I would to have nothing I really think, folks, we need to pray. Now, I met with the owner. I told you last Tuesday to pray. Now, probably most of you thought it was about the election, but it wasn't about the election. I met with a young man, 39 years old, that's probably a millionaire 10 or 20 times over. Very nice young man from Florida. And he owns the building. And I said, what do you want to do here? So I told him. He said, oh, man, preacher, he said, this would be a great building for that. He said, I'll take $575,000 for the building. I said, buddy, I told you right up front I don't have any money. I said, unless you're going to give me this building or God provides me money, I said, we don't have no money. He said, well, I can't give it to you. He said, the way I've got it all is properties, thousands and millions of dollars in properties. He said, I can't do that. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll lease it to you. And I said, that's what Brother Fong told me to do. He said, preacher, lease a building. I said, I don't want to lease a building. I don't have no money to lease a building. And I don't know if any of you got money to lease a building. He said, I'd lease you this building, then you fix it up, and we'll take that off the lease. I said, well, I don't know. So I want to pray about this a little bit. I went away from there. Here's what I really thought. I thought Tuesday I'd have a building in my hand. That's what I thought. I'm trying to exercise great faith. And I'm telling you, if you know the time I've spent in prayer and meditating on this, and all you, how many of y'all fasted last Tuesday? Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen. That was a blessing. Fast again because we need some more. Amen. So I told this guy, I said, well, I don't know, I'm going to have to think. He said, man, but it's an ideal building. He said, where is it, preacher? You go up Morley and you pass Bob Butcher Shop on this side. The next side's a Stone Court trailer park. And right there on that same side is that building. And that's the building that I believe the Lord would have us to have. You say, well, preacher, what if we don't get it? Well, whether we get that building or not, whether God showed me through that building or God showed me that building, I have come to this conclusion. We must do more in town. Everybody goes to Moberly. Everybody does. Everybody goes to Moberly. And if we're going to reach people, we're going to have to move our mindset. We don't have to change our methods. We don't have to change our message. But we must go where people are at. You say, how in the world is that going to happen? Great faith. Great faith. So, preacher, we don't have no money the way it is. I already told you that. I told you that a long time ago. We didn't have any money. But I'm not dependent on you doing great things. I'm dependent on God doing great things. And every time I look, I took Yvette to the building. At first, she was... You know how much earlier I'm going to have to go to church now if you move that up to town? So I said, yes, dear, this is all about you and time. So I took her up and showed her the building. She goes, oh, I see that now. She'd testify, it's a great building. Just so happens that the patrol board was renting that building, and just so happened that their lease was up Tuesday. The building's empty. The guy said, hey, preacher, he said, man, he said, I'll do you a deal. He said, I'll rent you the whole building, $4,000 a month. You fix it up. I said, I don't have to pray about that. I said, I don't have $4,000, much less any fixing up money, but I'm going to pray about it. I've looked at other buildings, and every time I look at that building. It sits right there. Right behind there is Fox Park, right like where Miss Betty and all those houses would be, and all I see is people. I don't see money, I see people. And the more people you reach in town, the more people would come out here. I'd like for you to pray. Now don't gasp for air, don't go home and get on your oxygen. Just go home and pray. Say, preacher, our Lord, if this is your leading, and it is, than whatever it takes to stretch our faith. And the last point of the message is this. Have you ever exercised great faith in anything you've done? Have you ever stepped out of what you're doing and exercised
great faith.
We raised $3,000 last Sunday night for the church plant. Man, I was so blessed. Amen. I was so encouraged. But that's a drop in the bucket. And I told you that last week. That would be a drop in the bucket to what we need to do this week. Now, I'm not asking anybody for any money, but I am asking you to pray. Because Lord willing, this time next year, when we start Awana, we're going to be uptown. And I have a vision. If I could spend 2 hours, I could tell you what I saw in that building. And if I could see it, and you can see it, and we, according to the power that worketh in us, let God use us, it would be a great ministry. Please pray. Keep that verse in your mind. And let's honor God. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you, Father, for loving me. And Father, for saving me. Lord, I truly am unworthy to be saved. But I'm so glad you saw my soul worth it. And Lord, as I have prayed often in the past several months, I surely don't want to do anything that embarrasses you or that embarrasses the church. But God, I have a firm belief in my heart where you led me to that building. And I pray for Greg, God. I don't know that boy has the ability to let loose of that building or not. He said he don't. I guess he's honest. Lord, we don't have no money anyway. And Lord, as I saw that building, as I saw the ministry of this church expanding and reaching more people, God, I can only submit myself to your leading. You said in the Bible, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall bring it to pass. So, Father, today I submit one more time to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And I pray, God, whether it's that building or you showed me through that building, whatever the case may be, that God as a church will follow. Now, God, this is going to take more faith than the thing in Centralia. Because, God, this is home. That tradition's here. And, God, you're going to have to change our minds. And you're going to have to change our thinking outside of our comfort zone and our box that we sometimes call it to help us to move and God to reach more people. Lord, I thank you for our church. I thank you for our properties. Thank you for all you've given us. Lord, you know my heart has no intention of being disrespectful and dishonoring to what you've done. But God, there is a greater need. And God, it's not this building. Is not the need, but it's people. And I pray, God, you'll help us to win people and to minister to people. In Christ we pray. Amen and amen.